Good evening. You are tuned to KGVM Bozeman. We're Gallatin Valley Community Radio. You can find us at 95.9 on your FM dial and at kgvm.org on the interwebs. And it is time tonight for the local musician spotlight. We're in the KGVM studios. We're not out at the Tune Factory this week, but we've got Hair Machine here.
Hello.
Hey, thanks for coming in.
Yes.
I wonder if you want to just say a little bit about yourself and what you're up to.
Yeah, my name's Phil Griffin. I started this project because I wanted to write some music that was a little more accessible than my other band that I have, which is called Bull Market, and that band's just like kind of a hardcore, crazy band. And I've wanted to write folk songs since I was like 18, but I didn't quite have it in me, I guess. So
yeah,
it's been kind of a nice project to get into. But.
I was pretty interested when I saw the new album and made the connection. It's like, well, those are kind of staking out some pretty distant ends of the musical spectrum for sure. And after listening to it, I decided that you definitely have it in you to write folk songs now.
Nice.
It's like, oh yeah, this is. It's kind of funny. I thought about this yesterday when I was kind of listening to some of it, and it's like the songs on the album seem like they're fairly intensely personal, and you know, which a lot of folk music is, of course. And and I was like, well, that's a little different from like a lot of loud rock music. And then it dawned on me what a silly thought that was, really. I mean, maybe it's because of the energy in the music and stuff, but there are a lot of loud aggressive rock songs that are pretty intensely personal too. But
yeah,
I don't know. You just don't think of, I don't anyway. I don't think of them in the same way, and so I don't make that connection.
Yeah,
even if I like take the time to try to pay enough attention to the lyrics, it still doesn't seem like the same sort of thing for some reason.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you, I think. And I think that's why it took me a long time to write these songs, because you have to be kind of willing to say something very clearly without there being like a big wave of noise that can kind of haze it up.
Right.
Like in Bull Market, it was good for me to like, to write songs where I didn't worry as much about if people could hear the lyrics.
Right.
I was just like, well, I'm just going to scream it. And if it sounds cool, then that's good.
Right.
And it kind of accidentally ends up being personal or something like that.
Yeah.
But with this, it's like, yeah, how do you devise stuff where you could say personal things, but not too personal?
Right.
I try to come up with like characters or something that are singing instead of me directly, but it ends up being...
Yeah, that line is a pretty thin line, I think, and I think you definitely nailed it. So the album's called Please Pardon My Crying, I'm Learning How to Live. Is that the right?
I'm Learning to Save My Life.
I'm Learning to Save My Life, right? Yeah, I first saw that, I was like, huh. Before I even listened to it, I was like, I saw it on Bandcamp or something. It's like, man, there's a title that says there's going to be some serious stuff on this album.
Yeah.
And there was. It's it it's a pretty big departure, but I really thought that it worked great. And there are a lot of solo singer songwriters, folk musicians out there that, you know, just them and a guitar. But I don't know, it's kind of the songs and the way you sing them and the production, the instrumentation. It just seems really raw, kind of. And that, I think, really added, the songs worked excellently that way. And I think it kind of adds to the impact a little bit. So
nice. Yeah. I was definitely going for minimalism, about how to get the maximal effect with the least amount of stuff. It helps that I can't really play guitar that much. I'm just a punk guitar player, really. So can kind of fake it on the folk guitar. But
so I wonder if maybe you want to play a song or two, and then we'll talk a little bit about it.
Yeah. This one is Big Sky Blues. Spilled my beer on waking up, late to rise with an empty cup. But them boys do quite a few. Bugs are bad, but the feeling's worse. A lot of space feels like a hearse. Guessing I'll just go to the bar. This and that about theys and thems. Brother, I'm running off of crumbs and stems. Got some payments for my car. Take a think about going away. Goddamn, I could go for a couple days. Give me time, give me the world. Oh, big sky blues. Oh, big sky blues. Trying to pay the rent. It's hard to spend a few dollars just to make a few cents. I ain't no suit, but I get that. They pour it into barrels and pans. Ain't the same now as it was back then. Back when we had it made. Oh, big sky blue. Sky blues. Well, everything up and died. Looking seems it was time. So I'm hitting the road. I'll see you on the other side. And maybe it's just as well. Learning to cry some kind of hell. Sometimes you need some fire, making you move on. Roll up some clouds, I'm floating away. Moon pie, star state. Getting high off those big sky blues.
That's the lead-in cut on the album.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good way to get it kicked off.
Yeah, I kind of like to settle in with it. It's the first one I wrote, so I'm kind of the most familiar with it.
Yeah, nice.
Knock the rust off a little bit.
There you go.
This one's called Baby Hold Steady.
Walked and we gathered all that we could, but it seemed
like that woods turned to stone. Well, baby, hold steady, 'cause it looks like we're dying again. Sometimes we were blind. Looking out, we thought we saw a way, but it was a path of minds. They said we were crazy, I guess that's true. Ahab incarnate in two. But you jumped and left me out in thin air like a pilot sitting on a cloud. Oh, baby, hold steady, 'cause it feels like we're dying again.
This must obviously scratch some kind of a different itch than the bull market stuff. Do you like to kind of switch back and forth between them, or kind of do one for a while and then do the other one for a while? Or
I like switching back and forth. I definitely call it like a Jekyll and Hyde act.
Yeah.
Because one of them is pretty wild and one of them is more tender. But it ends up that I kind of spend different time, like the, since I started with this project, it's gotten more attention. Part of that is because it's just me, so I don't have to coordinate. Even with Bull Market, it's cool because just one other member, Nels, so it's not that complicated, but still two is more complicated than one.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool to be able to just book, you know, my own shows whenever, as long as I'm available, then I can just book it and jump on. And
yeah,
practicing, I can practice with myself. And
yeah,
yeah, but I would like to kind of get back into the bull market. It's kind of a juggling act.
Yeah, I suppose. So I saw you guys at Dryfest. Yeah. Have you haven't been playing too much outside of that this year?
No, we kind of lost momentum with COVID. Of course, we couldn't do any sweaty shows at that time, so we kind of just fucking haven't been super into shows lately, but now it's wide open, so I guess we could start booking some more.
It seems like things are, I mean, who knows where things are really at. I mean, it comes and goes, and then it comes again, and I can't keep up anymore. But yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people are booking shows and doing stuff, so
yeah. And we've got an album that we're just about done with. It's been in the works for like a year and a half or something, so
oh cool.
Yeah, maybe we'll be on the road a little bit more with that one,
get out there and tour a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you record that where'd you record that at?
In Billings. Yep, with the same guys we did on the first one, Tyson Kreider.
Nice. Cool. And is that where you recorded the Hair Machine album too?
Nope. This one I recorded in my friend Parker Brown's basement. He plays in the band Satsung.
Oh.
And so, yeah, we've been friends a long time. He's kind of a music dad of mine. I started taking guitar lessons from him when I was like 16 or something, and we've been in touch ever since. So it's kind of fun. It was super fun to sit down and record with him and with these songs. And
yeah,
I think he's gonna play some slide guitar on my next release.
Oh, cool.
Kind of fun. Yeah,
nice. Yeah. So you're kind of thinking about the next one up for Hair Machine as well?
Yeah, I haven't had time for too much new stuff. It'd be another short release, probably three songs or something.
But, yeah.
I'm kind of liking the short releases. And doing it low-key like this where I don't have to have a bunch of production or stuff like that is nice too.
Yeah, definitely. I guess, not that I know for sure, but I've heard inklings that this kind of like doing the EPs or doing, you know, extended single or whatever you want to call it, and doing more frequent releases is kind of what is people are suggesting is the good idea now.
Gotcha.
Keep people fresh in everybody's minds, I guess, as our attention spans dwindle as the cathode ray or as the LED screens on our devices suck our attention span out or something.
Yeah.
TikTok. Yeah, exactly. Like, oh my God. So yeah, that seems to be kind of a good strategy, I guess, is to do more frequent but shorter releases.
And I don't know about if I like that in terms of because of the business, like you say, what it means for our attentions and stuff.
Right,
span, but
I have this like dinosaur brain still. It's getting better a little bit, but even when I was a kid, the idea of just going and buying like a single, a 45 or something, it's like I didn't have a lot of income to go buy albums, so I wanted to maximize. So I want to, get the double album and get this much bang for your buck. And
wow,
I still had I still have the little bit of that idea, but now with the digital stuff, like you can go on Bandcamp, it's like, oh, okay, I don't know that I would go to a record store and buy an EP. Mm-hmm. I guess I would maybe, but it's a lot easier in the digital format. So
that's funny.
It's kind of weird, our brains are.
You wanted to get the bang for your buck, but that was when people paid for music.
That's a whole other rant that I like to go on too. Uh-huh. I finally ditched Spotify, not necessarily because of the Joe Rogan thing, but just because their return to artists was like so dismally awful.
Yeah.
And so I picked up Tidal, which is three or four times better, which means that it's just pretty awful instead of amazingly awful.
Right.
And, but I don't really listen to it that much. I would a lot rather, get the album on Bandcamp and pay for it and, buy it instead of renting it.
Yeah.
But, that is pretty anomalous in this day and age, it seems like.
I think you're a rare case.
I think so. And
for
it's,
sure.
Maybe I think that the resurgence of vinyl probably helps a lot, although I haven't really heard that much about, I know the economics of vinyl are not as good. Mm-hmm. So, your margin is skinnier, but I would have to think that hopefully artists are getting a little bit better deal if they can actually get people to buy vinyl.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I guess I've just kind of given up on making money with music and overall.
Yeah.
Someday if I could build it where I could play shows and people would pay me to play, that would be cool. And that's where it's at, I think, right? If you've got a good act, you can go out and tour it and people pay to come see you in person.
That seems to be the thing now. That's what you got to do.
And that would be sweet. But in the meantime, I guess part of this project is that it's economical for me personally, too. It doesn't take, like I said, a night a week like you would have with a band. Usually you set up like a night a week, and I'm getting greedier with my time as I get older and a little grumpier, so.
Yeah, I don't know what happens, but things start stealing more and more of it, and you have to start paying attention to where it's going.
Yeah.
It's like, man, all of a sudden there's no time left, and you didn't get all of the things done that you wanted to, so I think that, I don't know how that happens, but it seems, in my experience, that there's something age-related there.
Yeah,
It's probably just the fact that the longer you're on this earth, the more like entanglements you accumulate with other people and things, and each one of those once in a while needs a little attention, so.
Yep.
But I do think it's cool that you can, set up in somebody's basement and record and get a good sounding recording, not have to go spend an arm and a leg paying for studio time. Like, it takes a lot of pressure off so that you can do what you want instead of what whoever fronted you the money to get you the studio time wants and stuff. So
that's,
I think that must be pretty freeing for a lot of artists now.
No, I think that's the game too. And frankly, I don't really care about getting paid if it means that I get the independence.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, for sure. It's not even that much of a question, comparatively.
But, right. Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it's easy to say money's nice. I don't know what it's like to be getting money and have people telling me what to do. I wouldn't deal with that very well.
Yeah. I think a lot of non-musicians maybe don't quite understand, you know, they look at big bands. It's like, oh, those guys are making a lot of money. So, you know, musicians, they're in it for the money. It's like, well, most of the musicians I know, it's art. Mm-hmm. It's not business. Mm-hmm. And it's not something that you do because you necessarily want to. It's almost something that you do because you have to, right? It's like there's this itch and you have to scratch it or it will drive you crazy, just like a lot of itches. So
yeah, there's a lot I could say about that. Kind of been dealing with mental health stuff more in the last couple years. I quit drinking professionally about a year and a half ago, and so since then I've been thinking a lot more about that. And I think music plays a huge role in keeping me sane and keeping me in my body too. I think that's something that's nice about this project is the singing. Was kind of shy about singing for a long time, but I grew up singing and my grandma was a singer and I was singing in boys' honor choir in Billings. So kind of embracing my voice took me a long time, but
yeah,
it's definitely something that it's a bit of a meditative process or, at least bodily.
Yeah, kind of helps center, center you.
Yeah, for sure.
Nice. You want to maybe play some more?
Yeah. Let me play a newer one. I'm tired of stealing and dealing, but it got me this far. After I hit a K, I can fix my car. Left the rest of the weed with my mom. Left my cat on the family farm. Made it to Texas by skin of my teeth. Smoked all my stuff, now it's just me. Once the street dries, we'll be fine. They won't find a thing. Cause I'm high and tired, worn and wired. It was high time that I got out here. Hated that money way. Hated all the things they say. With a little flip, now I'm feeling just fine. Now I'm just glad I still talk to my dad. He's not as bad as they say. I want to do him proud and show him another way. Grandma was dying, I saw him crying. I saw half his heart. He couldn't stand to see her breathing like that. We were high and tired, worn and wired. It was high time that she got out of here.
So that's a maybe. Would that be one of the ones you're thinking about for the new release?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. So that was some tasty slide guitar on there by Parker.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool. So let's go back. This one's off the EP. I go walking and I see you in the tree. So I don't walk in the woods anymore. I hear you in the water and the needles in the breeze. No, I'm not sure, I don't know where to go. So I just stumble home and hum a song and try to carry on. Got your life, got your lady, I guess I've got a few. Talk of marriage and of babies too. I've Got my weed and cigarettes and I'm working on some tunes. But I'm trying to stay away from the booze. So I just float along and sing a song. Try to carry on. Talk about it, I don't wanna cry. I've been thinking, drinking about you every goddamn night. These last few years, I think I've done my time. Giving up my shackles, gonna go get mine.
That's a, yeah. No, that's one of those like intensely personal songs, it feels like.
Intense what?
Intensely personal, just
yeah,
deep.
Yeah, these were pretty much all written as I was like picking up the pieces of myself after a divorce. That was pretty gnarly, and we were doing some crazy polyamorous, so it was like really complicated too. That's what I'm singing about in that other song. There's too many breakups to think about.
Yeah.
And that's the flip side of polyamory, which is that you can have like multiple partners, but you can also have multiple failures.
So, pain upon pain, yeah, potentially.
So, some of this is about losing my wife or girlfriends or whatever after in the aftermath of that.
Kind yeah.
Of, so, yeah.
Do the songs like help get through stuff like that?
Yeah. Yeah, they are definitely like, it's a bit little dramatic because I end up like crying while I'm writing most of these songs. So there's definitely something that's happening while I'm kind of expressing these things. And it's kind of like a confessional deal, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and I guess there's lots of bands that have done that.
Yeah, like definitely.
Dashboard confessional or yeah, whatever. But yeah, it does end up being that way. And I'm not sure if that's awkward or if that's like what we look for in some music, like if it's really yeah, sad or, but for me, it feels good and it kind of feels good to yell it. So,
yeah. does it make it harder to sing some of the songs after you've recorded, like if you were playing them out or something, does it get complicated performing them in front of people?
Complicated cause they are confessional.
Yeah. Like yeah, reliving some of that stuff or,
you know, I wouldn't say it's complicated. I've probably got enough time performing at this point that I kind of like am pretty good at distancing myself. It's kind of weird listening back to them and singing them in front of different people because they have like different perspectives and they kind of yeah, like know me maybe. So they kind of know what I'm talking about. So yeah, if I'm playing in front of a close friend or like my ex-wife or something, I'd be like, oh, damn, this is like, this is crazy, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I've kind of talked to other musicians about that, you know, you write the song and you have these ideas you're expressing, these feelings and stuff, and you're maybe a story you're telling, and then somebody comes along and listens to it, and all of those same words could mean completely different things. They could establish a completely different set of feelings or come up even, you know, connect a different story somehow to it. And I think that's kind of fascinating. I think that's a great thing about music for the listener. You know, it's like it lets you, even if you're not a musician, you can kind of put some part of yourself into the experience maybe. But
for sure,
it does seem like it could be a little odd. You know, you're doing something, especially, you know, if it's something pretty personal and somebody else like has a completely different take on it, it's like, weird. Yeah. How did you get there? That's not where I'm at. So.
No, for sure. And I think that's just part of it, too. So far, people seem to kind of like understand or on a similar page as I am when I think about the songs. But it is fun, and I like that in art, that you can just kind of shoot stuff out and see different people take different stuff from it.
Yeah.
But yeah, there has been good responses from it where people, like one guy told me that, like, it's nice to hear somebody say out loud the things that you think in your head.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like really good standard, like good feedback from an audience is like if you're capturing stuff that they...
But they feel too.
So,
you know, I think that's a good thing about art is, in part, just letting us know that we're not alone.
Yeah.
Because I sometimes that's a weird thing. Sometimes I have a tendency to assume that everybody makes the same connections as I do about things, or thinks the same way, or feels the same way about certain things. Mm. But I think a lot of people probably do that. I don't know because I don't have ESP, but then there are other things where I think we have this tendency to think it's like we're the only ones, like we're the only ones going through this or feeling this way, like especially the last couple of years, and like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I think it can be very helpful for a lot of people to feel like hear somebody else articulating it. It's like, oh yeah, I'm not the only one that's struggling with this, or, you know, that feels the existential dread, or, you know, the unease, or the joy, you know. Yeah. It's nice to know that, you know, other people are having some of the similar feelings, I think.
For sure. Yeah. Well, and there was something really cool. That same guy said something about like, how if you see somebody on stage singing about these things, it like gives you hope that you can make through your own stuff.
Yeah.
Like, wow, this guy's singing about some sad shit up there, but he's standing right there.
He made it through it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I love that. And that's like the main point to me is to find other people in their other prison cells and bang on the wall and see if you can communicate a little bit.
Yeah. Tap Morse code out on the bars or something.
Yeah.
I do think it's interesting. Like the loud music, there's definitely a connection there. I think part of it's probably a little different. And part of it, I think it's maybe more about just the shared energy. I mean, that's a feeling too, you know, working your energy up and out and with other people. But it seems like it probably, you know, I think people definitely, they get done with the show and it's like, yeah, they feel some kind of sense of community for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And whether that's like in a mosh pit where you're feeling less alone because you've literally just been rubbing up against sweaty bodies for the last bit or whatever. Or if people cry at shows, I've had some people crying at shows, and so that's amazing to me if people could just like be in a room crying together.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots of different kind of expressions of that chaos, I guess.
Right.
And it's nice to find different channels.
Right, ride the wave a little bit.
Yeah, totally.
Cool. Yeah, if you want to play.
Should I play some more? This is my newest, and I've kind of haven't been able to write anything since, so... Hopefully there's more coming, but it's called Rogue State. Been living in that rogue state again. Don't know how and I don't know when. And if I knew why, then maybe I wouldn't be crying. Maybe I'd never be so alone again. Told her that I'd see her in the flowers, in the meadow, the forget-me-nots and the lupin glow. Now I see her in the clouds and in the rocks and in the shadows. I see her goddamn everywhere I go. Well, they can take the trees and the earth, turn them all to plastic, burn what they can burn. They can take your body and throw it in a cage, but they can't take that spark away. Well, I could sleep 1,000 hours, I could eat 1,000 plates, dream 1,000 women, go 1,000 ways, but I would trade it all for just a day with her, dancing in the kitchen with my girl.
Yeah, hopefully that's not the, that's just a road bump instead of a block.
Yeah, I've got, there's some stuff cooking. I've just been also focusing on work. I've been doing concrete.
Oh.
Doing some flat work and kind of just like trying to make money and take care of myself financially.
Yeah.
That was something that was kind of a wreck after years of musical alcoholism. So yeah, since I quit drinking, I've been like putting different stuff together, and sometimes that means that I just go to sleep so I can go to work in the morning, and
yeah.
I don't write lyrics. So been writing a lot in the car and writing just while I'm busy getting lines down. So I like to kind of do that and then just sew it all together if I get a little session in me. So
yeah,
but I've got a few more.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go with Kitchen Blues. This is probably my least sad song, but it's still sad. Go to work and I do the dishes. Come home and I do the dishes. People, they tell me this is the best that we can do. And I take out the garbage. Come home and I take out the garbage. Can't seem to get away from all the garbage in this world. Well, I ain't trying to complain. Just want to tell you a few of my pains. Because consensus is contrived when the sick and dogs won't fight. And we can all see something's gotta change. And I do the laundry. Come home and I do the laundry. But the dirt and the grease and the grit runs deep in the thread. I go to work and I sweep the floor. Come home and I sweep the floor. It's so easy to get swept up in these things. I ain't trying to complain. Just want to tell you a few of my pains. Because grandma's dying and the world is all on fire. So all I see is why not try to change. I go to work and I get high. Come home and I get high. I guess that's just how I'm getting by right now. I go to work and I read the news. Come home and I read the news. No wonder I've got those blues right now. And I ain't trying to complain. Just want to tell you a few of my pains. So I'm putting down my phone to spend some time alone. See if I can make myself some change. I go to work and I do the dishes. Come home and I do the dishes. People, they tell me this is the best that we can do.
So that song that's the last song on the EP, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I love that that line, consensus is contrived when sick and dogs won't fight. It's like, oh, man. And, you know, I'd listened to the song two or three times, and I'm guilty of not listening carefully enough a lot of times. I put it on, and then I start doing stuff. And,
sure.
And so I was listening to it, and it's like all of a sudden that finally soaked in, and I was like, that got my attention. Mm. So I was wondering about that, because some of your bull market stuff is kind of, I don't know if political is exactly the right word, but it certainly makes a lot of commentary mm-hmm. about some of our systems of economics and politics and stuff.
Totally, yeah.
And I was kind of wondering how much of that does that obviously it slips into your into this stuff a, at least a little bit.
Yeah. This was the first song I think that it got slipped in a little bit.
Yeah.
But I was just kind of pissed. I'm really tired of the culture wars and stuff, and COVID I got tired of, and I got tired of lots of different stuff. So, yeah, this was definitely a little bit of a political song.
Yeah.
Just tired of people fighting about bull crap that, it seems super political to me, so.
Yeah, it seems, I think there's a place for healthy disagreement, discussion, debate, some compromise, you know, some consensus building.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like a lot of what's going on now is that. It's just two people with bullhorns pointing them at each other and just turning them up to 11 and screaming.
Yeah.
And that's not, I mean, other than making everybody deaf, it's not helping anything, that's for sure. So.
No, totally. And that was definitely kind of an active purpose of this project too, was to make music that like more normie type of people can listen to.
Yeah.
You know, with a little bit more of a country sound or something. Growing up around here, I bristled at country for the longest time, you know, but I love some country and some folk, of course. And it's nice to be able to connect with people, you know, regardless of what they think is going on in politics.
Yeah.
I tend to be a nihilist. I don't think any of us really knows quite what's going on with that stuff. So I'd rather keep it simple and keep it with music, or keep with what's in front of us.
You know? Yeah. And
if that's each other, then we could just talk to each other maybe about other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, that's I can't quite fathom how it seems like we've lost track of that. It's like the fastest way to get over a lot of different things, prejudices and misconceptions and stuff, is to just meet people and talk to people and personalize it.
Yep.
You know, I know like my generation and the one before it had, you know, there were a lot of hangups about a lot of different things, like, you know, homosexuality. Mm. It's like, man, there's this mental block there about that seemed insurmountable. And I mean, it certainly didn't go away quickly, but it seemed like it started to go away a lot more quickly than I expected it to. And I think that was just because as people stopped hiding it and people started realizing, it's like, I know more people than I thought. Then it's like, oh, it's not scary.
And they're not pedophiles.
Right. It's like, oh, they're people like me. Yeah, and so I don't need to be afraid of them. I don't need to hate them. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's just one. You know, I think that there are so many things where if we just actually talked about it and personalized it a little bit,
right,
then it's kind of a catch, you know, it builds on itself quickly. Mm. It's like, oh, if I can start talking a little bit, then pretty soon we can just talk about things. You know, we don't have to fight about things. We can talk about things. And you know, some people have a little bit more trouble agreeing to disagree, I guess.
Right.
But, you know, I think everybody's got the capacity for that to some extent. But when you're sitting at that keyboard in the middle of the night, it's pretty easy to just let fly with all of the most, like, the really basest instincts that you have, I think.
Yeah. No, and so I've been trying to get offline and get into real life, meeting people and being with them. Meeting rednecks and stuff, I think it needs to go back the other way a little bit. There's a lot of rednecks that are really cool. And,
yeah.
You know, they might have a little bit backwards stuff going on, but usually you could talk to them about stuff.
Yeah.
And, right, if you happen to be gay or whatever, and you get to be friends with a redneck, and then you let them know that you're gay, like, that can change a lot.
Yeah.
Because then they're like, hey, this guy was cool, and he didn't shove it down my throat.
Right,
if you'll pardon.
He's not he's not trying to recruit me or anything.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
so I don't know. Yeah.
I do think I'm kind of connected to a lot of progressive people for, you know, if to use a word. And sometimes it really drives me a little bit nuts that I think there are a lot of people that are on that end of the political spectrum that have this self-impression that they're enlightened and more open-minded and stuff, and these, you know, the rednecks are like closed-minded and don't understand anything. And it's like,
right,
if you really stopped and listened to yourself, that's and if you were objective about it, you would realize that you're doing some of the same things that you demonize.
Yeah.
And it just, I mean, people, I guess that's probably one of the big problems is people, maybe it's just not in our nature to be objective. I don't know, but it's, yeah, I mean, I think you have to make a conscious effort, it seems like. And a lot of people just don't.
I don't think objectivity is possible or desirable, maybe, is part of it. I like to get lots of different perspectives, and then you can kind of add those up and maybe approach objectivity.
True. Well, maybe that's a good point. I mean, there is no pure objectivity.
Yeah.
Objectivity is kind of a sum of a big group of people's subjectivity. It's like the limit. You know, totally. As you get enough people together, it's like, that's what objectivity is.
I would say so. I went to school and did some philosophy of science. So we talked about objectivity and scientific reality and what that means till the cows came home. So when people talk about scientific objectivity today, I kind of have to check out because I get my philosophy brain going. And I'm like, you know, rain dances could be seen as a form of science if you really think about it.
And yeah.
It's kind of interesting how the political spectrum functions with that too, because some of the people who are all about scientific objectivity also seem like they would have some interest in legitimizing like indigenous scientific practices or whatever, but that's pseudoscience now. So
Yeah.
I don't know. This stuff's really funny to me and I don't know how to think about it anymore. I just try not to think too much.
Yeah, you have to do that or you just have to like keep reminding yourself like, well, you know, people are weird. They get weird ideas and I just have to roll with it. Try to pick out the parts that might be useful and hopefully have the wisdom to recognize the parts that aren't.
Yeah. That sounds like a good serenity prayer to me. Where are we at for time?
Oh, we've still got about 10 minutes.
Okay. Have to go on making those marks on yourself. Caught me coughing in the morning, found me faking it in my own hell. I thought I saw you in a passing car, same color, same model, same old tinted windows, but it was just an old man. Tired? Have you slept in a while? Have you touched your water? Can I get you something to eat? Cause with smoke and blades, it's easy to make the same mistakes and forget about simple things. Hard to say goodbye, go back to the darkness, but I've got an ember in my pocket to build a fire with you someday, somewhere, maybe we could burn it all away. I think I got one more.
Nice. Yeah, go for it.
All right, take two. Another night inside this lonely head, and there's still room enough for two. And I'm thinking about your body, but you feel just like a ghost. Up feeling upside down on everything. Put on a movie to ignore. At least I haven't drank in a couple days. I just end up wanting more. We put up, hoping to blast off. And we wanted the moon, and we went all or nothing. A decade detour to find ourselves. I don't know about you, but I found hell. Spend every day wishing I was dead. Had to drink an ocean just to get some rest. Is when I lost you. Then I lost my cat and I lost my shoes. Well, I'm a loser, baby, that's what they say. But I'm finally doing my own thing.
That's I don't think I could pick a song I like the best off the album. I certainly like that one a lot, and like Big Sky Blues and Kitchen Blues a lot too. But that one is a pretty standout song, I think.
Thanks. Yeah, it's kind of a rocker. Pretty directly ripped off Conor Oberst for that one, I think. But.
With the chord, absorb the inspiration.
The chord structure. Right.
Yeah.
You don't need to get specific.
That's right. That's what music's all about. I mean, yeah.
No, I love that too, just stealing. It's part of culture. It's part of sharing, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a grand tradition in music. It's not like, I mean, there are only so many notes and only so many ways you can put them together. It's inevitable that things are going to overlap a little.
Yeah, don't even get me started. That was a thing that took a long time too for me, was just to get used to writing like simple songs.
Yeah.
For that reason, because you kind of feel like you have to be unique. And we live in such a culture that values uniqueness and stuff. But yeah, I think that's kind of antisocial in a certain way. And
that's true.
Yeah, music is a social activity, so kind of funny. I've seen different punk kids get mad about people plagiarizing stuff. And
oh, yeah?
I don't know.
Like, just chill out a little bit. Yeah.
Sound like a capitalist a little bit.
Well, I want to thank you very much for coming in and doing the show. It's been great. So if people want to find your music, did you make up CDs of the EP?
I have them kind of on the way. Yeah, so I'll put those on Bandcamp soon. Otherwise, just digitally, wherever.
Yeah.
Yep.
I can vouch for the fact that they're on Bandcamp, so.
Perfect. And Spotify, whatever, garbage. Yep.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So. I was kind of curious. You're here now in Bozeman, but you were like in the Billings scene for a long time.
Yep.
How do you have a feeling for like how they compare?
Let's see. No, not really. Billings, I have a soft spot for Billings because it's underappreciated as like a cultural hub.
Yeah.
You know, people kind of shit on it and stuff, but I would say that Billings is a little bit, like, if you want to be an artist in Billings, it's harder.
Yeah.
So it's maybe more meaningful to be an artist in Billings.
You got to want it a little bit more.
Yeah. Although with the rent and stuff in Bozeman, you could argue that you have to want it pretty hard here too.
Yeah. That's definitely getting more and more true every day. It's like, oh man.
I feel like the hip factor is lower in Billings. Like, you feel less cool. So if you're like willing to deal with that, that's good. It's cheaper in Billings though.
Yeah.
So in that way, I think it's a little easier for artists to get by.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I love the Hof. There's maybe a little bit more going on in terms of like accessibility to venues.
Yeah.
Up here, there's not like a whole lot going on with DIY venues in Billings anymore.
Yeah.
Which is tough, but there's spots. Craft Local is an all right spot down there.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if it starts picking up there, because, you know, it wasn't that long ago here. Things were pretty dead too, and then it seemed like it started taking off again. And it'll be interesting to see if that kind of translates or not.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Billings is definitely just more of like kind of a breeder town in general and a worker town. So it's not as much in the DNA there, but yeah, Montana's just kind of blowing up, so
it is.
We'll
it's getting,
see.
Getting nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, people should keep an eye out and you know, pick up the music. Keep an eye out for maybe some new releases.
Yep.
And catch you if you're playing out. Maybe if Bull Market starts making the rounds again too.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we're definitely trying to be playing, so keep a lookout.
All right, great.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, thank you. And I hope everybody has a great night. Keep it tuned right here to KGVM.